I think in our culture, we under spiritualize way too much.
Just the world,
to the point where we don't acknowledge that this is, this could actually be, you know, demonic influence. I think we're so afraid to even call that out. And that is, again, another tactic from the enemy. He wants to stay hidden.
Magnificat is excited to introduce Magnifier, a new bi-monthly magazine for children ages 7 to 12, filled with wholesome offline entertainment that will awaken their sense of wonder to what is good and beautiful around them. Each issue focuses on one theme, approaching it from different angles. Comics, stories, interviews with artisans, crafts, and art encourage children to appreciate creation and dream about what they can accomplish with their talents. Check it out for yourself at magnifiermagazine.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on our Reason for Hope. I just found out the other day from one of our producers that, you know, more than half the people that watch this show, this podcast, do not subscribe to us. This is insane. I mean, what are you waiting for? Hit the subscribe button now. All right, back to the show.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to A Reason for Hope podcast. I'm Alanis, and today we're joined by a special guest. We got Matt Panna, who's a friend of the house. Welcome, Matt Panna.
The cameo appearance. I feel like I'm not on the main cast, but I'm kind of like the roaming cast of characters here in like the sitcom
honorary
of A Ray of Hope.
Member. An honorary
for sure.
Member,
honorary,
truly.
For sure. Yeah.
It's good to have you. Today we are talking about something a little spooky.
We're talking about spiritual warfare.
Yeah. A lot of people are spooked out by it, but hopefully after this episode, we can bring some clarity.
I think that's the whole goal, right, for this episode, is just what it is and when it's not. And we have to differentiate the two for sure.
Exactly. I love how they got like the most bubbly person and the golden retriever to talk about such dark topics.
This is going to be a heavy one, though. We were going through the scripts and I'm like, I didn't feel like it was going to be heavy, but it's a good heavy.
We're
equipped to carry the weight, I feel.
I agree. Are you one to watch like horror movies? Is that something you're into?
I love jump scares. For some reason, I don't know, just kind of like feeling alive. Like the gothic bloody stuff, not so much, but just like, oh, like the little bit, oh,
the reminder. Rush.
Yeah, the adrenaline. Yeah. The
I
adrenaline,
hear you.
For sure.
Okay. So we'll get into all of these things because of like horror movies, exorcisms, they have really capitalized on the whole possession.
Oh, yeah. The stereotype of all that, for sure.
Exactly. So I'm excited to dive in, talk about misconceptions, talk about what possession really is. Spiritual warfare in the day-to-day, right? It's not just about watching these people crawl on their backs with their eyes rolled behind them, vomiting. But there is a reality to spiritual warfare in our daily life. So that's what we're diving into.
And how we tackle that, how we combat that, how we receive or maybe defend ourselves from these little everyday moments where we are maybe conflicted or tempted in certain ways, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So this will not be a fear-mongering episode. We want to leave you guys with hope.
Yes.
We're a ray of hope after all. So that's our motive here. Do we want to start off by just defining what spiritual warfare is
I can get it started. So I feel like with spiritual warfare, just in a nutshell, basically, it's conflict between the forces of God and the forces not of God. Like, it's funny because I don't like saying the word the devil for some reason. I'm like very picky in how I explain it, but really it's like the enemy, right? Yeah. Like with anything against God is the enemy. And how do we differentiate both? How we discern both? And just those little moments of how we live our lives.
That's a great way to put it. I remember being in spiritual direction and at this point in my life, I was going through a lot like series of unfortunate events. And I'm like, what's going on? Is the enemy, you know, attacking me right now? Am I possessed? I remember I literally asked him that and he broke it down to me to where, I mean, I never heard this put this way before, but he said there are three different types of spiritual warfares where there's oppression, obsession, and possession. So I just even want to like read that right off the bat to lay out that groundwork so that we can know exactly what we're talking about. Because again, the one that the horror movies really capitalize on are usually possessions.
And very sensational too.
Yeah. And it's realistic. There are aspects and elements that are completely unrealistic and Hollywoodized. But let's just dive in. So oppression, this is when physical or external attacks by a demon. Again, this sounds really scary, but there's a reality to it that we live in a spiritual realm. And so there are angels and demons around us. And so there are physical or external attacks from a demon, often manifesting itself through sicknesses or misfortunes, disturbances that aren't really explained by natural causes. And the person usually, actually all the time, I don't know why I said usually, the person retains control of their mind and their will, because we have free will as children.
Oh, during that,
God,
they're still able to have some semblance
of
control.
Yeah, 1,000%. So they do not take away the gift of our free will. And so obsession is actually an attack on the mind. So it is like persistent and overwhelming thoughts, images, or compulsions inspired by demonic influence. So the person remains spiritually free, but mentally tormented. And my heart goes out to anyone who's ever experienced this. So it can look like intrusive, blasphemous thoughts, violent thoughts, right? Fear of damnation, inability to pray or concentrate spiritually, hearing voices. And it says it's distinct from mental illness, but even like urging sin or destruction. So it really is an attack on the mind. And then there's possession, which we hear a lot about. And so this is when a demon takes control of a person's body, not the soul or their free will. So the person may lose consciousness or control and act against their will. So, yeah, these are the things we see in the movies.
How to categorize it and just understanding it that way. Because it's funny when you watch any kind of Hollywood movie, who do they send out when the possession happens?
A priest.
It's usually an old-timey Catholic priest with a hat and the Bible and glasses. It's kind of great and edifying in that sense as a Catholic to know, like, despite the craziness of our world today and despite the spiritual warfare that we're either internally or externally watching something, the Catholic Church has had their foothold in the fight, in the combat of spiritual warfare.
Did you watch the movie Nefarious?
No, I've heard good things about it.
Okay,
interesting.
It's good.
Interesting things.
It's very similar to the C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay, cool.
So, but there's one scene where the guy's possessed by a demon, and this guy comes in who looks like he's a priest. But then the demon is like, I'm not scared of you. And then we realize that this isn't a Catholic priest. It's actually like random denomination.
So it kind of gave prompts to the Catholic Church subtly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the demon literally said, like, have fun trying, my guy. Like, that's not going to actually be.
Next.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very fascinating. Yeah. So let's transition into what this actually looks like on the day-to-day.
Yeah, everyday lives, right? I would say we have to differentiate two things, too. I feel like there's the world's view, right, that we talked about, and then the Lord's view of spiritual warfare. So the worldly view, right, is what we talked about, like movies, TV. I wrote tabloids. That's a very dated reference, but like clickbait, like how the world perceives spiritual warfare and evil versus how the Lord views it. And I love quoting scripture. A lot of these episodes will feature a lot of the good word, right? So I like to say there's twofold the way I've seen the Lord's view of spiritual warfare here. So Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So that's Proverbs 4:23. And then Romans 12:17, never pay back evil with evil. So I feel like when it comes to these, the way that we see the evil in our world, not to kind of, we could use the pop culture references in the movies to kind of make conversation, but at the end of the day, we have to kind of go to scripture, go to the word, go to the church to really see the lens of how we need to view these things in our lives, for sure.
Yeah. Just to give even an anecdotal of what it's looked like for me in my life, because I feel like a lot of times we think we are immune to like spiritual warfare or like just exempt from experiencing the attacks. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there's such a disconnection between what we see in Hollywood versus like what we actually experience. And during my engagement season, I got married 3 months ago. Hey, glory to God. But during my engagement season, I experienced spiritual warfare like never before. And it's really common when you're entering into a new season, a new chapter. Especially when it's in line with God's will. It's like a nod from the enemy. He's like, I see that you're doing God's will and I want to tarnish that. So thank you for acknowledging that I'm walking in line with what God has for me. But it was really heavy. I mean, the things I was experiencing on the day-to-day, it was like things like anxiety, right? The stress of it all, fear, mental health challenges, things I've never struggled with in my life, but it was starting to manifest itself through a lot of questioning the Lord's goodness in my life, his faithfulness. And then there were some extreme instances where I would literally wake up and my bed was shaking. I've never experienced that before. And I talked to a mentor at the time, a spiritual mentor, And she just told me to take authority in those moments, to bless my room, to pray over it, to take authority, to declare the name of God over the space. But it was just really, really prominent in my life. And then even for my fiance at the time, my now husband, he was experiencing just a lot of, despair and mental fog. So it was really the oppression that we were describing
before.
It's
something outside of yourself, but something not in your normal purview day to day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so looking, it was also insane because as soon as we entered into the sacrament of marriage, dissipated in an instant, like completely
gone. That's evidence right there. Yeah.
Right. The grace of God covered us. And it was so apparent that the reason why he allowed that to happen was for the redemptive purpose, so that we can actually like grow through the experience, learn to be stretched in not hearing the voice of the Lord even for a season, learning to trust him. You know, Mother Teresa talks about that dark night of the soul, how for a season the Lord kind of like went back.
Retracted, maybe? I would say so. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that he's distant, but he just like retracts in the sensational emotions that come along with walking with the Lord.
That's also heavy too, because you want the Lord to be close to you in these dark moments. And when you don't feel him, that kind of makes the situation a lot harder to bear. It's 1, a heavier situation.
1,000%.
And it's really tough to feel like, and to hear the words oftentimes in like theological circles, right? Of like, oh, the Lord permits this to happen. And sometimes the worst atrocities, you're like, the Lord permits this to happen? How do we weigh that? How do we even make that tangible in our lives?
Ultimately, like everything the devil does, it's because the Lord gave him like the ability to do it, right? The Lord gives him
Oftentimes allows these moments for the devil to kind of work.
But
for
how
our
exactly?
Good and redemption.
Yeah. Like what are his abilities?
I would say a couple things here. So right, knowing that demons and the devil, they cannot know the future or read our own thoughts. They can't, you know, pry into that aspect of our lives. What they can do is observe our human behavior. They can also make very accurate predictions on how we would react to certain things if they kind of throw cogs in the wheel of our journey, right? Also deductions, and they could use them to craft temptations towards sin if they know we're inclined to certain things. So I mentioned combat, right? And oftentimes, and I have a very modicum experience with martial arts. I'm still a novice at these things. But normally if I have an injury or an ailment or a wound, normally someone I'm sparring with and they want to win the fight or win the match, they'll exploit that to some degree, whether it's like a limp or something.
Yeah.
And the devil does the same thing. He exposes our wounds. He goes to our injury. He goes to those sore spots because those are the spots where he can claim his victory in the end of the day, right? Also, a couple aspects here too as well. The evil one also takes advantage of misfortune, sickness, like we talked about earlier, anxiety, especially in these really key pivotal moments of our lives, life-changing seasons. That's when the devil knows he can kind of get in there because we're not at our strongest ultimately.
Can we pinpoint exactly what that would look like in the daily, like those tactics from the enemy?
I think as we're tempted to see the grandiose and the fantastic, because we mentioned earlier with the Hollywood, right? Like we're expecting these big gestures of spiritual, you know, demonic influence. And those things are real, like we discussed earlier, right? But I would say just day-to-day stuff, I feel like they are attacks. When we talk about spiritual warfare, these are actual attacks. So I think for me personally, especially with the social media, I'm on my phone all the time. I work in technology in the city, right? So like oftentimes it's an attack via distraction, an attack on our silence. And what does that look like? It's noise. Oftentimes it's news cycles and news feeds. It's people posting about the latest trend or something that gets in the way of, say, my spiritual life or maybe my time to really just decompress after a long day of work. So I think those little attacks could be potential seeds for bigger attacks in the future. I'd also say the things like procrastination, lack of commitment. I think this generation is probably the generation out of all the generations. And I may sound like kind of an elder millennial here, right? But like the lack of commitment, the lack of follow through. Yeah, that's also maybe a mental health thing, but I think there's a spiritual component to that too, where we are meant to be in community. We're not meant to be by ourselves in isolation. And if we are disavowing our commitments to certain things and cutting ourselves out of community, we have to really reassess that in our lives for sure.
Yeah, I'm so glad we are putting a spotlight on the enemy right now and just exposing, because it's so easy for us to just believe, well, this is just a part of life.
Yeah.
And you know, I experience this so often that it can't be spiritual. This is just, it comes with the territory of being human.
I see what you mean,
But listen, Dave, theologian, who will be listening to this later, correct me if I'm wrong. Literally, Dave comes on a mic.
Yeah, little blurb.
He's like, you are wrong.
Yeah.
I do believe that there's an element of over-spiritualization that we can get to.
I see, yeah.
But at the same token, I think in our culture, we under-spiritualize way too much.
Just the world,
to the point where we don't acknowledge that this could actually be, you know, demonic influence. I think we're so afraid to even call that out. And that is, again, another tactic from the enemy. He wants to stay hidden. And so this is just us saying, we see you.
Yeah, exposing that for what it is, like you said earlier. Yeah. As long as it's a mask, too, I feel, oftentimes with the world where you're kind of like, oh, no, everyone goes through these things. It's okay. You don't have to seek advice or mentorship or community. That voice in itself is not of God. And we have to really call it out point blank and have these conversations more and more. And I feel like this trend I've noticed in social media where people are talking about spiritual warfare, what it is, a lot of the brokenness in our society today, this year alone, people are seeking that. But how do we showcase this in the light of Christ versus something demonic? We can kind of dive into that going forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to kick it off and share any tips that you may have?
Yeah. So, we were talking about this earlier beforehand. So kind of prepping for the episode, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about spiritual warfare, and that includes combat. And I want to give a big shout out to my brother. He's a martial arts instructor. We're polar opposites in probably every sense of the word, by the grace of God. And thank God bless my parents, right? But when I think of warfare, I think of combat, I think of my brother, because he taught me how to fight. He taught me about physical health and keeping healthy. But the spiritual life and spiritual warfare also requires being combative in that sense. So when we think of combat first, right? Like you think of how you strike and how you hit and how you block. And I think of like the video games I played with as a kid, but it's more than just striking and hitting. It's your footwork, your maneuvering, how you ground yourself in martial arts, like in jujitsu or karate, right? There's ways you ground yourself and your posture and how you maneuver through things. Even most recently, this past summer, I took a class with my brother. And even when you make a certain type of strike, it's not necessarily from, you know, your hands and your fists and your elbows. It's from your hip. It's from your core. It's from your foundation, right? So when you think about the spiritual life, what is at your core? What is in your, where are your feet spiritually grounded in? And what I've been trying to take in my spiritual life is just silence. And it's tough for me as someone who works in like audiovisual, I do content creation here at Array of Hope, right? To find those times of silence is golden, to not have the phone on me, to not be accessible all the time is so fruitful. And I'll admit this wholeheartedly nowadays, now that the weather is, by the grace of God, the weather is nice now. I just do a nice spiritual walk around a lake. That's one thing I have to find. That's my way to spiritually combat anxiety and temptation and just negative spiritual talk, right? It's just to kind of walk around. And maybe to some degree, like, you know, water is very spiritually fruitful in that regard. Maybe you think about it, right? In scripture. But just to go like a quiet lake walk with no technology, no phone, no headphones. I used to like listen to Hollow before and like kind of deaden that space. But no, I need the sound of nature. I need that to take hold of me as opposed to all the negative things, whether it be technology or my own negative self-talk, right? So when combating, you need to have that core, that foundation. Where's your foundation? I think you need to lean on the church, lean on mentors, and also have those disciplines within yourself to kind of keep you grounded in your faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you touched on discipline because I think that's huge. We need to die to our flesh in order to be strong enough. Ultimately, our strength is in Christ, right? But there is an element of like a spiritual toughness that we need to have. Like I said, my mentor told me, oh my gosh, I'm stumbling over my words. My mentor told me to take authority in those moments. And like, we need to be on guard. Actually, scripture says, you know, stand on guard. Your devil is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Sounds scary, but like the ultimate thing that we need to look at, we need to not focus so much on the lion that is prowling, but like stay grounded, right? Stay strengthened. And through those disciplines, through those exercises that you were explaining, why am I getting all shaky right now? Devil.
Hey, yo.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Are you looking for a comfortable brown scapular that won't break? Check out our sponsor, scapulars.com. They use American-made paracord, so it's super strong. And they also use Australian merino wool, so it's super comfortable. It feels like you're getting a warm hug from your heavenly mother. Click on the link above or below in the description and get yourself the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. Hello, and thanks for being with us here on A Reason for Hope podcast. Been very grateful of the many years that we've been doing this for you. This is our sixth season with hundreds of podcasts already released. Although they're free to watch and listen to, they're not free to produce. So I'm asking that you discern to contributing and donate to A Reason for Hope podcast. We're a nonprofit organization. Every dollar, every penny is tax deductible. All you have to do is go to our website and click donation and navigate the podcast. All the funds that you donate will go to the production of this podcast. Thanks again, and may God bless you.
I wanted to touch on fasting.
Yes.
Jimmy is here in the room as well. Shout out to Jimmy.
Hey.
Can they hear you?
I think they can, yeah.
Let's go. Nice. What is your role here, Jimmy?
I'm the producer of this podcast.
He's the producer. Yeah. I knew that.
The voice of the ether, right? Yeah. The holy spiritual voice of
reason,
God, right?
And yeah, this is a reason for hope podcast.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy likes to joke around with me because my husband loves fasting. And so we have a lot of fasting conversations. But I actually presented at A Ray of Hope just like the power of fasting because I was reading this book called The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. In it, my eyes were so opened about this one. I mean, we all know the story. I'm not going to pull it up. I actually don't even know where in the Bible it is, somewhere in the Gospels, where Jesus is being tempted in the desert for 40 days. And it is so important to focus on those key details because it says that he was led by the Spirit and that he was filled by the Spirit when he went into the desert. And so he combated the enemy through reciting scripture, right? But also through fasting. He didn't eat for those 40 days that he was in the desert. And then once he finishes those 40 days of being tempted, he overcomes the enemy, the devil. And it says he leaves empowered by the Holy Spirit. So there is something so powerful about, number one, fasting, and also these moments of overcoming these spiritual warfare moments where we leave with the sense of empowerment, not by our own merit, but by like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit
the grace
that
of God.
Comes. Yes,
yeah.
The grace of God. And I also wanted to touch, we went on this retreat at A Ray of Hope where Father Glenn Sedano, who is an exorcist, we have a lot of podcast episodes with him. He's gold. And so he shared these practicals, and I'm just going to read it straight up because, again, this is like right now, like take out your note app, write it down on a paper. This is so important because we live in a supernatural world, but we also live in a natural world.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge both.
Right. We're spirit and we are flesh. And so we have to do these practical things in order to just be able to overcome these moments of spiritual warfare. So number one, live in the light, metaphorically and literally. I think a lot of times we're like, live in the light. Okay, so let me tell the truth. Like genuinely turn the light on. Like if you were feeling spiritually oppressed, stop going into your room.
Physically turn. Flip the switch.
Genuinely,
physically.
Yeah, because the demons thrive in darkness the literal and metaphorical sense. Read the scripture out loud. Like we said, if Jesus did it, there's truth to it. We have to speak the word of God, declare it in those moments. Seek that priestly blessing that you were talking about. Forgive those that you need to forgive. Unresolved conflict.
That's
going to
be one that a lot
resentment.
Of people struggle with, I feel. That's a big one.
Yeah. But it is like a huge stronghold in our lives. We have to get rid of any unforgiveness it's festering in our hearts and it's honestly causing a lot of damage that's unseen. Be tidy. This actually shocked me. Like he said, demons like disorder. So be clean.
And chaos. So,
be
orderly.
So they thrive in it.
Interesting.
So clean up.
I think the whole adage of like, if you want to change the world, make your bed. You know, a lot of people say that on YouTube.
People say,
honestly, it was after COVID when I adopted that practice. Because sometimes I just wake up, especially when I'm working from home, you know, for 2 years straight. I'm like, oh, the bed could wait. Whatever. I'm on my laptop, like munching and hanging out, right? But just making the bed, that's the first step of order in my life. And I've been doing it probably the past 4 or 5 years now.
Wow.
We're thinking about, you know, post-COVID, right? And that's been a process for me. Even if I have a good day, a bad day, I didn't sleep well, I slept great, I always make the bed. And you're right, like physical order does play a role in our spiritual lives.
Yeah.
It does bleed in that sense.
The world acknowledges it. I just don't think they realize how spiritual it can actually be. And just to roll through the rest of them, there are four more.
Yeah.
Go outside, to your point. It draws you into those transcendental beauties. Yeah. Demons don't like beauty or nature. So naturally, if you go into nature, they might flee. Be creative. Since they like destruction, go against that and create and act in the image and likeness of God, who is a creator. Assist the need of others. The way Father Glenn described this, he said this is acid in the eyes of demons. When you
like service.
Go, yeah, service,
oh, wow.
Especially to your enemies.
Yeah.
And then lastly, suffer well. And I think as Catholics, we know all about that. Separate episode to dive into suffering well, because that's a whole...
That's what antithesis or like, yeah. But it's funny that you mentioned these little steps, right? I feel like this is like the utility belt. I think I was mentioning this in one of the last episodes, right? That we are equipped. The Lord equips us with this grace, right? Mm-hmm. So these little ways, and thank God for Father Glenn is a legend, right, in the space. Some of these weapons or these combative techniques may come naturally to some people. Well, there's people may love nature, or you may not like nature. You may have allergies. You know, there's things that happen. But knowing that we are equipped with these things, and we have spiritual mentors and guides that know how and can help us get through these, it's very, very fruitful. I want to touch base too in terms of just like fasting. It's funny that you mentioned fasting now, because I think the whole trend now of intermittent fasting is like a big, and there's physical benefits. You know, I've done the research, right? But like, I feel like Catholics have been on the fasting game way before it was cool, man, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It was kind of cool to see that like the world is kind of catching up now. There's an integration now finally by the grace of God, you know? And I talk about this often on a lot of Catholic content, especially in our conversations. Like I do Exodus 90 with my men's group every year. I've been doing it since COVID as well. And just like having that season of like intentional prayer and fasting and doing it with other people to keep you accountable. Because I tried Exodus the first couple years, literally just me and my spiritual director, because it was COVID and like no one was around. And it was a lot harder because we were two guys with our own separate lives. When you have people that you're on the journey of fasting with, you could share those revelations. You could lean on people. If days are rougher for you, for example, especially in Exodus 90, they encourage you to have someone like an anchor, is what they call it in the actual terminology, is having somebody that you're anchored with throughout the entire fasting process. So you're with somebody, you could talk about your struggles and what your revelations and all these things. So when you're fasting, and I love a beautiful quote from St. Augustine. I love Augustine. We have a pope who's Augustinian by the grace of God. You know, St. Augustine once said, "Fasting purifies the soul and it scatters the clouds of desire." So in that sense, you think about desire, like in sin, to get out of that funk and that kind of fogginess you're mentioning earlier, right? With your that stage of your life, right? You need a method to clear a lot of that, and clarity is so important. And I think fasting really helps us spiritually clarify where we're at.
I've never heard that before. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I had a realization during my fasting process. Oftentimes when we're in this fasting or season of fasting, right? We realize how hard our hearts are and how inflexible we can be. Like I work in New York. I mention this often. It's kind of my recurring theme, my discussions here on the podcast, where I have my own agenda and my own schedule. I have my own cubicle. Everything is so set. And oftentimes that kind of rigidity can get in the way of our spiritual life and like, oh, I don't have time to go to daily mass today because I have this going on. We're so inflexible when we're fasting, we're praying, we're giving up these, whether it's food, whether it's technology, you allow the Lord to enter in and soften your heart. And I think if we lead more toward craving our hearts to be softened, I think we'll have a better way to combat the evil one in the spiritual warfare.
Amen. Yeah. That's so beautiful. Why do you think the devil does this? Like, what are his tactics? What are his motives?
Well, I feel like we talked about this earlier, right? Where Diablo, the root word of Diablo is what? Separation, right? It's division.
Yeah.
And I mentioned in the past few episodes too, where like divisiveness is of the devil. Like the devil seeks to divide. He's a liar, right? And I feel like when we compare like the evil one to the Lord, because I hate saying, you know, the devil, but with the enemy and the Lord, right? God and Christ, specifically Christ, teaches us how to love God, how to love our neighbor and love ourselves. The devil, on the other hand, lies about God, lies about others,
yep,
and especially lies about ourselves.
Yep, yep.
So
yep.
Really, to get into the whole spiritual warfare debate, it's to know those are the lines of battle. Where do we fall? How do we seek those, and how do we differentiate and discern where we're at in our lives? Just knowing when there's divisiveness or lies or any kind of separation, like Diablo, like we mentioned, we have to remember that separation is not of God. Unity is of God. And how do we see that? A lot of that's through prayer and fasting and putting ourselves in these spaces where the Holy Spirit can enter in.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you talk about the distinction, because Paul talks about there being a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. And if there are two kingdoms that are in opposition to one another, there will be a battle. So like naturally, that's where the battle comes from.
Paul the Apostle, let's go. Yeah.
Go, Paul.
I was kind of going through my notes here and really praying on like what the devil does in these like parts of our lives, these spaces, whether it be church or community. Ultimately, the enemy's goal is to destroy our ability to love. It's to destroy that ability to love other people, because that's what makes us most like Christ, our ability to love and to heal and to be there for people. So what does the devil want to do? He wants to destroy that aspect of that goodness in us. So oftentimes that could look like, and I'm guilty of this for sure, is that judgmental lens, that transactional lens of like, what do I get out of this community or this service or where I'm at? What's the benefit for me? And normally when I find these kind of more internal struggles and I kind of seek what I get out of certain things, I'm like, is this really of of God, or is this really the devil speaking into these little moments of my life? So I'd say, like, when the world sees things through a judgmental or transactional lens, that could also be something that's most likely of the enemy. But ultimately, rest assured that the enemy is not threatened by how we look or appear, but how obedient we are to God. Our obedience is one thing that we can equip ourselves. We're talking about these spiritual weapons from Father Glenn, right? Obedience is something that could bring us, that almost that could be our armor against a lot of these temptations, this negative self-talk, things like that.
Yeah, disobedience is so important to touch on, because this is a hot take. I genuinely think fear is sinful. And the reason why I believe that is because it is a direct act of disobedience toward what God has told us to do. It's in the Bible. Right. It's in the Bible 365 times.
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Right. And so often we actually go out of our way to be afraid. And we're like so fixated in this culture of like true crime videos. I've fallen into it. And to your point, it's like this addiction toward the emotion and the sentiment of fear.
Of investigating why this thing is happening.
Yeah,
doom scrolling.
Like, wrap our minds around it. Mm-hmm. And I do think that's like where the enemy comes in. He like wants to sow that distrust, to your point, that disobedience, because ultimately what fear does, it shifts our gaze from the Father to ourselves or to our circumstances, exactly how Peter drowned in the water, right?
Yeah.
He had his eyes fixed on Jesus, and the moment that he looked down was the moment he started sinking. And so,
in our spiritual lives too, when we look away from the gaze of God,
yep,
that's when we kind of lose ourselves in like the storms of life. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the trends. Before you said trend of crime shows, I thought you were going to say trend of control. It's like oftentimes we're talking about independence and self-reliance, right? Sometimes we feel like I got it myself. I don't need a community. I don't need people. I could figure this out on my own. But like we're talking about earlier, you don't bring these things to light and they fester. That could do a lot of damage to both your mental health and your soul, right? So we need community more so now than ever. And I feel like ultimately the enemy just hates community. He hates when we get together in these conversations in this like beautiful studio or just one-on-one in our own personal lives, right? The enemy hates community. And we mentioned this earlier, where isolation is one of his toolkit. You know, we talk about the combative, you know, superhero Father Glenn toolkit, right? The enemy's toolkit is one of his biggest weapons is isolation. It's keeping us away from people, keeping us away from interaction, of accountability, of discussion. So I feel like the biggest counteraction to that, friendships that are rooted in Christ, are our secret weapon. These
yes.
discussions, having these really great debates or just discussions that could kind of draw the best out of us spiritually, that's our secret weapon to combat isolation.
Yeah. It's ultimately like the spirit of self-reliance, us believing that we can do it on our own.
Individualism,
I'm actually reading this book. It's called Relaxed, which I need in this season of my life. And it says, walking with the one who is not worried about anything, who's not worried about a thing. Which is really consoling. Like, wow, I walk with a Lord who isn't afraid, who isn't fearful. And that brings so much consolation. But something that the author mentions is that faith is nothing more than that dependence. And so if we're robbed of our childlike dependence on our Father through those tactics of oppression, oppression, obsession, possession, then the tactic, the objective of the enemy is fulfilled. He, like, quote unquote, won.
Wins, yeah.
Right. Ultimately, the battle belongs to God, and he already won. But in this, like, small little instance, we're giving him, like, the prize, the reward. You know, as Christians, we all love Romans 8:28. The Lord works all things together for good for those who love him. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's exactly why he's allowing these things to happen, because ultimately it is for our good. He wants us to address these open doors, these open windows to our soul, which the enemy is coming in from. So while the enemy would love it if we relinquished our dependence on the Lord, this could actually be the exact way we become more dependent on our Savior to deliver us from these instances.
And that's the essence of faith in itself, is real childlike dependence.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's this quote in St. Catherine's diary where she actually says that, like, the demons themselves give God glory because they give us the opportunity to practice things like patience and temperance and to grow in our faith.
Oof,
like,
that's a heavy one,
such
though.
Such an Uno reverse card.
It kind of low-key is. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So. We're talking about childlike dependence, and I never understood that as a kid. Like, going to Catholic school all my life, I'm like, childlike dependence? I want to be an adult. Like, I want the adult version of faith, but childlike dependence is real, utter surrender, and everything belongs to God, like a child to his father or his parent. Like, I trust that my parent will get me through something. I trust they will provide just naturally. I don't have anxiety about these certain things. And coming with that childlike dependency is that sense of belonging. I think we're talking about how the devil uses isolation and, you know, he hates community. And oftentimes we don't have a sense of community. Say if you don't have a church group, we don't have a young adult group, we don't have a men's group or anything like that, any kind of women's group, men's group, any kind of sense of accountability. We don't have these kind of things. We have to understand that we are called to belong to the Lord. The Lord doesn't belong to us, we belong to him. One of my favorite quotes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 43:1, I have called you each by name, you are mine. That sense of belonging, knowing I belong, especially nowadays, we have all these different run clubs and social activities and CrossFit, and they're great things, they're beautiful things. I partake in them as well. But knowing that, like, yeah, we belong to these groups, but we also belong to the Lord. The God is love, God is goodness. And that belonging could be another toolkit that we can use to combat a lot of these temptations.
And, right. Yeah. And if you think about it, like, the reason why the enemy wants to keep you alone is because then his voice becomes the loudest one that you hear. So it's so important. Yes. We've touched on community so much, and so I won't even dwell on it. But this is vital. Like, for our walk, for our spiritual walk, it's not good for man to be alone. It is a command. Ultimately,
literally,
it's a command from the Lord.
At the top of scripture, like, out the gate. That was the command.
It's not good for man to be alone. So I'm going to send you a helper that's suitable for you. Where two or more gathered in my name, like, I am there, right? And so it's like, literally, when we have that sense of community, the Lord is present. We shouldn't just, like, breeze past it. We have to continue to point out the fact we need community.
It's an ongoing struggle and conversation. Yeah.
Right. This is really good stuff. This is rich. Let's wrap this in a pretty bow again by just, like, bringing in the hope, tying in the hope.
Yeah,
ultimately, our
hope
is in Christ. Amen. But a ray of hope. So what is the hope that we can have in the midst of this?
Yeah, I would say I love quoting scripture, and I love we can do that both kind of off the cuff here as well. So Romans 5:5, hope doesn't disappoint. I've had many seasons of my life that are very apathetic and very numb and all these kind of things, but knowing that hope doesn't disappoint, my own worldly ambitions and desires and striving for things, that's great in itself, but hope does not disappoint. So a couple of great ways to incorporate hope into our lives and just, you know, combat the evil one in the spiritual warfare that we're in right now is, one, prayer rooted in scripture is vital. I love the Psalms. It's I love David. I love broken people in scripture, I guess, in that sense, because they've gone through so much and they're able to still proclaim and glorify. So I love the Psalms. I pray with the Psalms often. So I'd say Psalm 119, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So prayer rooted in scripture is very important. I'd say also, we as Catholic Christians, especially us in this moment, being well-versed in community, but also just in general as Catholics and Christians, we have an obligation and responsibility to the other. Service was one thing we mentioned earlier, right? So Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, from him much will be required. So when we know and we are knowledgeable and God has graced us with theology and the church and all these practices and disciplines that are so fruitful and vital, to whom much is given, much is required. We're going to be asked of more because we live in this space. But ultimately, don't fret. Grace will prevail. We talked about this, about grace in general throughout this discussion, but St. Rose of Lima had an awesome quote here. The gift of grace increases as the struggle increases. So the grace abounds even more when we're going through these kind of seasons and struggles. And ultimately, you know, true heroism is fulfilled in sainthood. Like, we think about, like, this past season of movies, this past summer here in 2025, where, you know, you see all, like, the Supermans and the Fantastic Fours and the Avengers and all these great things. But true heroism is founded and fulfilled in sainthood. I love this quote by St. Anthony Mary Claret. Christian perfection consists in three things: praying heroically, working heroically, and suffering heroically. That is the goal of sainthood. That's true heroism. And I feel like if we lean more towards sainthood, lean more toward being a spiritual hero in our lives, that could bring the hope in that could hopefully not disappoint us, but bring us toward the grace of God.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's good, Matt. Just to give my two cents, and really it's Father Glenn Sedano's two cents about where to find the hope. I love, he gives these examples of how demons, he makes it so less intimidating, because in reality,
and the way he expresses it is very, just like, he's very real and raw about it too.
He
calls
them squirrels. I love it. I'm like, that's
he totally
what,
would.
That's what
I
you
love
are
that.
To
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
So he literally calls them squirrels, and he says, just imagine, like, a squirrel enters into your house, and the first thing you would ask yourself is, how'd these squirrels get in here? And so in any moment of spiritual warfare, you can ask yourself the same question. Where is the entrance? Like, where is the root of this? How is this like, where's the entry point? And so if you pinpoint that, you'll naturally investigate it. You'll inevitably find the hole, and then you can address the wound. And I find so much hope in that, the fact that we don't have to live in a place of woundedness, that the Lord actually wants to bring healing. And ultimately, the reason why he's allowing these, we mentioned this before, but it's so that we can, like, actually acknowledge that, okay, Lord, I repent that I've actually made agreements with this in the past or in the present, with agreements with lie, with agreements with sin, that has given the enemy a foothold in my life. And now it's time to address it with you, Lord, the ultimate healer.
Thanks be to God.
So there's the hope. There's so much hope.
All the hope.
Oh, yeah. All the hope. Yeah. You're an array of hope. This was really, again, so rich. Thank you for being here with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Of course, of course. Guys, thank you for watching. We hope that you left this feeling a sense of lightness in the midst of so much weightedness and so much darkness that can come with this conversation. But we will catch you guys on the next episode. God bless you all.
In addition to producing this podcast, Array of Hope is also known for producing events such as retreats, missions, conferences, and concerts. If you'd like to learn more about what we offer, just go to our website and click on Experience. There you can see and learn all the various programs that we offer. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.